Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I am Tim Wildman. Thank you for listening to our program and for tuning into AFR. All right, it's going to take 5 minutes to introduce the panel here, so might as well get started here. Ed Battagliano, good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. I'll keep it brief.
Thank you, Ed. Abraham Hamilton III.
I have no ability to keep it brief. My loquaciousness must disseminate across the spectrum of the airwaves.
Well, now, loquaciousness, you can get a prescription for that.
Well, I'll try. Will it be covered by Obamacare is all I want to know.
Well, they're trying to repeal and replace it, so you better get your drugs now. That's all I got to say. Hey, good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
By the way, these two gentlemen serve in a administrative capacity here at the ministry, and they're not just a pretty face, ladies and gentlemen. Ed is the executive vice president for AFA, and Abe is our general counsel and also serves as public policy analyst for us here at AFA and AFR. And Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News, OneNewsNow.com, and fills in for Sandy Rios in the morning like you did this morning. Good job.
Hi, Tim. That's how you keep it brief.
Hi, Tim. Fred did the show all by himself this morning.
I tell you what.
He didn't need four people. Does that mean I'm radio handicapped? I don't know. I have to have four people to do the show? I don't know. I like to bring in other voices other than my own, Fred, when we do radio. But if you want to, you know, just do your little monologue for an hour.
I had Dr. Richard Land on this morning.
You did.
He helped out.
You did. And Sandy does it by herself. So
yes.
I admire those folks who can handle an hour by themselves.
Brian Fisher does like
2 hours.
2 hours.
I know.
And Dan Celia.
And Dan Celia does too, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Those guys, I couldn't. Anyway, Walker Wildman is going to be operating our Today's Issues Facebook page. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And I know you want to keep it brief, but tell us why people should go to our Today's Issues Facebook page.
Well, you can watch the show live there or Facebook live streaming there, and you can find all the news articles that we talk about on the show today on the Today's Issues Facebook page.
Right, and if you go to our Today's Issues Facebook page, don't you increase the chance to win the lottery?
Yes. Yes, you increase it by 0.001%.
Right. And for a lot of Christians, they're against the lottery. I don't know what you'd do if you won.
Well, you would give it to...
Do you tell people?
You would donate it to American Family Association.
Yes, there you go. Take the devil's money.
So we would take it?
Well, yeah.
Somebody wanted to
give
it to
us. We didn't do the bidding.
It's kind of like the we talked about before, the joke about the pastor who loved to golf. And so one Sunday morning, man, he had been cooped up all winter, and he couldn't take it anymore. He had to call in sick to the church, and he just told him, I don't feel good at all. I'm just not going to be able to make it. Somebody's going to fill in for me, because it was like 75 and sunshine,
right?
You know, and so he went to he drove 50 miles, didn't want to be spotted in his hometown,
right?
You know, by pagans on the golf course. Isn't that the pastor of the first church over there? So he at least had enough sense to drive a couple hours down the road before he teed off. And so he got to this hole, and he hit a hole in one. The problem is he couldn't tell anybody.
Unless he lied.
He couldn't tell anybody about his whole
life.
Like Walker's saying. I mean, he's already been covering up his sin by going to another town. Why not just say he did it on Monday?
Yeah, he already lied once.
He already lied. Yeah, he lied once, covered up his
great pastoral advice.
Yeah. So the moral of that story is,
if you're going to lie big time.
Thank you.
So says Pastor Ed.
Thank you, Ed, for that biblical admonition. If you're going to lie big time, says Ed Dagliano, Vice President for American Family Association. All right, a lot to talk about today. Hey, folks, we got the second half hour. We got a couple of great guests lined up. Autumn Lindsay will be with us. She's a 16-year-old young lady from the state of Washington, and she created a video that has gone viral. It's gone from zero to 500,000 looks, views, I guess you could say, within what, like 24 to 48 hours. It's amazing. And you're going to be encouraged when you hear this young lady. We're going to play part of her video. It's a response to an article that appeared in a magazine called Teen Vogue, which is an article that was promoting abortion and treating it very lightly. And Autumn, as a pro-life 16-year-old Christian young lady, responds on video, and it is powerful. So you want to make sure you stay with us. We'll play some of the video. I think Walker's going to post it on our Today's Issues Facebook page. That is her video. It's powerful. Abe, you watched it.
I did watch it. And
I've seen it. It's great.
Yeah.
It was powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, to say the least, it's powerful. So we'll hear from Autumn. We'll talk to her coming up at the bottom of the hour. And then Stephen McDowell, founder of the Providence Foundation, will be with us, too, in the next half hour. So and then Todd Starnes, you know, at 11:15, like in an hour and 4 minutes from now, will be joining us. So we got a packed show and great subjects to cover. We want you to, every day you tune into this program, we'd love for you to, you know, come away from it having felt like you've learned something and become more informed as a follower of Christ and as an American patriot. Fred, what's leading the news this morning?
Well, very quickly, Autumn's video and the story about Autumn and her video and the response, you'll be able to read it on One News Now in just about 15 minutes. We'll be posting that story. We'll also contain a link to the full video if you want to go and watch it there. It's one of those news days, where do you begin? Let's start with the Trump administration. Today, we'll be announcing its effort to undo an Obama-era directive that allowed students to use school restrooms that correspond with their gender identity versus the sex with which they were born. We've talked about this, bathroom bills, bathroom directives, et cetera, et cetera. What happened was when President Obama was in office late in his term, he issued this edict that basically ordered schools that when you have somebody, say it's a guy, he walks up and says he feels like a girl today, you must allow him to use the girl's washroom. And that's
and
the,
showers.
And showers, change
rooms. And locker rooms.
You
the
name
whole
it.
Thing.
Under threat, basically, of a school district losing federal funding. Well, today, the report is that the Trump administration will be revising that directive and basically saying this is not a federal issue, this is a state issue. We're going to leave it up to the individual states as to how to handle this. But they also added, and this is really important, they also added that we want to ensure that all students are protected. One of the big concerns with the edict that came out from President Obama at the time is that, as I say, some guy who can come up and say, I feel like a girl today, that's what gender identity, their definition says, can go in. He's a guy. He can go into the girl's washroom and sexual assault may result. And so there has been real concern about that. Kind of goes to the target issue as well.
Abe, this is great news, isn't it?
I think so.
we applaud the Trump administration on this?
Absolutely.
Even though we haven't seen the official.
No, not yet.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I'd want to read actually what's put in print. But
right. This
is an example of why the federal government shouldn't be involved in these issues to begin with. Mm-hmm. I mean, the federal government shouldn't be telling different states that how to do the restroom. So I think this is a good way. I would like to see the president's administration just make a clear-cut statement that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Education Amendments of 1972 do not include the concept, the subjective internal concept of gender ideology within the ambit of that statute. If there needs to be a change in that statute, it has to be passed by Congress, not from a federal edict from the Departments of Justice and Department of Education.
What happened here, folks, if you remember, it was a year ago May. It was a year ago May. It was last May. President Obama and Attorney General Lynch decided that they would send a letter to all the schools in America. And they told the schools, you must start accommodating transgendered people and letting them use the restrooms they want to go to, letting them be go to the if a boy thinks he's a girl, you better let him in the girl's locker room and shower if he wants to go in there, or else you might lose your you might lose federal money. That's in essence what the letter did. You may remember that, folks. Well, 11 states, at least 11 states that I know of, turned around and sued the government, the federal government, saying we're not going to do that, and you can't force us to. That's nuts. Basically, what the states were saying, we're not gonna comply with this. And so that was still in court. That was still in court, and under Jeff Sessions, the new attorney general, the government, federal government, backed out of that and said we're not going to impose that. And now, to go along with that, it looks like the today sometime the Department of Justice and the Department of Education will both say that we are not going to force this on the state's head.
Yeah, and this is going to be a real fight. This fight over transgender issues going forward, not just now, you know, with this, you know, battle over the executive order. I'm looking at an article that's on MSN.com, but apparently it originated with the New York Times. Its headline, I want to point out two things about this. Its headline is Fight Erupts in Trump Administration Over Transgender Students' Rights. So the first thing that strikes me about not only this article, but this issue, is that the mainstream media is framing this around the issue of transgender students' rights, whereas our side is more or less framing this in terms of the rights of all the other students, the rights of young women who are not transgender to not have a boy in their changing area. So it's going to be very difficult for us, but we have to do it, to frame this issue the right way. Interesting also about this story, it is claiming, the New York Times is claiming, that this decision by President Trump to rescind the move that President Obama made actually came after a very bitter battle between Attorney General Jeff Sessions and the Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos. This article is saying Betsy DeVos was basically told that she had to agree to this move, or perhaps even, you know, defy the president and be fired. This is what the New York Times is claiming. Betsy DeVos, who's Secretary of Education, Jeff Sessions is Attorney General, that Betsy DeVos wanted to make sure that transgender students were protected from bullying. Okay, now that's, I don't know anybody here at this panel. I don't know a single conservative Christian who wants people bullied. Okay, that's what's thrown
for whatever reason.
That's what's thrown at us.
Right.
You must be in favor of these transgender kids being bullied. Actually, I think the reverse is true. If you are forcing girls, for example, to accept a boy who says he's a girl into bathrooms, I think you're risking more bullying for transgender students rather than simply providing a non-gender specific bathroom or changing area for that transgender student, who are a fraction of a percent of the people in this country.
Well, to address what you're talking about there, the Washington Post says it's seen a copy of what the Trump administration is going to announce today. Included in that, the White House will insist that schools must protect all students, and the undoing of the directive, quote, does not diminish the protections, end quote, available to all students.
Well, there you go.
So it's been addressed.
Right.
Let me make another point here, because the way this issue is going to be framed in the media, it is being framed, and Ed's already talked about it, and Abe, get you to comment on this. what they're going to be saying today, folks, you're going to hear about this in the news, and what the liberal media is going to be saying is that President Trump is, quote, coming after the transgendered students in America. He's going to make life hard for them. And his administration, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, taking us back, a step back, all these things they're going to be using. Mm-hmm. LGBT people are going to be out front going, this is dangerous. We live in a, this is the new Nazi movement. Now, you're going to hear all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Let me just ask you something, folks. If that were true, how come it took President Obama 8 years before he issued this order to protect transgendered students? You know, he only did this last May. I say protect in quotations. It doesn't protect the young ladies,
right.
The millions of young ladies. It doesn't protect them from having boys in their showers at school or in their locker rooms. So it doesn't protect them from that. But if President Obama and the liberal left, if they're such champions of this, it took them 8 years to issue this order, which went into effect last May. That's the one that President Trump and Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, are rescinding. So you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Hey, but this is so. Don't tell me we're going to, if we're going back in time, we're reversing to our discriminatory selves here, our bigoted selves. We're only going back to last May.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you want to comment?
Yeah, I
on
mean
that?
Because how can I say this? President Obama waited until
yes.
He didn't have to face
yes.
the repercussion of another election
yes.
to do the things that were rumbling around in his heart the whole time.
Yes.
And it shows the hypocrisy, yes, and it also shows the fact that it really wasn't a huge issue to
right.
begin with. It's just his attempt to solidify his legacy as the Newsweek or the Time magazine article said, the America's first gay president, so he can continue to be the celebrator in chief of the sexual deviancy agenda. But it had nothing to do with the real issue that was being faced.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That news should be confirmed today sometime. Sean Spicer, the press secretary for President Trump, said yesterday, he referenced this, so this is going to take effect. And this is not a good sign for DeVos on this issue, if she's fighting with Jeff Sessions over this.
If indeed the New York Times is framing this correctly.
Yeah.
That's true. As I said, the failing New York Times.
Fred, come on. You don't. Are you saying the New York Times might lie about this?
I'm saying that.
Well,
I just wanted to be clear.
Who knows what went on exactly? But the headline, the first paragraph is from the New York Times: a fight over a draft order that would rescind protections for transgender students in public schools has erupted inside the Trump administration.
Right.
Pitting General Sessions versus Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos. All right, so that's what's going on there. You can read the stories we talk about here on our Facebook page, Facebook Live, Today's Issues Facebook page. You can also comment on the stories that we talk about. What's next, Fred?
Next, a federal judge yesterday decided to block a plan by the state of Texas to cut Planned Parenthood Medicaid funding. This over the belief in Texas that taxpayers' money ought not to be spent on abortions. And everybody knows Planned Parenthood is the nation's number one provider of abortions. Well, a federal judge said, well, Texas, you can't do that. Now, we're still kind of going through the federal judge's words on this. But we've extracted some of them, one of them being this judge, and I'm not sure who appointed him, Judge Sam Sparks is his name. He said, such action, stop funding Planned Parenthood with Medicaid funds, such action would deprive Medicaid patients of their statutory right to obtain health care from their chosen qualified provider. Now, is there a law that says I can go anywhere I want with my Medicaid money and get whatever medical procedure I want? I get to choose who does it. Is there actually a federal law? I'd love to know that you can go anywhere with Medicaid, with federal taxpayers' dollars, and get the service that I want. That's what he's saying. So his argument.
And what you're saying is that's not true, right? I mean, you have a provider has to accept Medicaid funds.
Exactly. So he is saying it is illegal for the state of Texas to say to individuals, you're not going to use taxpayers' dollars to go to Planned Parenthood and get an abortion or other health care. He's saying they have the right to choose whoever they want. What Texas is arguing is that Planned Parenthood is in the primary business of abortions. And they also referenced the videos from last year where Planned Parenthood people were sitting around talking about how they can sell various parts of a little unborn baby, et cetera, et cetera.
And official. These are officials from Planned Parenthood
exactly.
saying that.
And the judge, a secretly recorded video, fake names, a grand jury indictment, congressional investigations. These are the building blocks of a best-selling novel rather than a case concerning the interplay of federal and state authority through the Medicaid program.
That's what the judge said?
Yeah. So apparently that's what he said. Again, we're still reading
dismissing.
Absolutely dismissing the facts
right.
that lay out the reasons why the state of Texas.
And being sarcastic about it. Oh, it makes for a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with what we're talking about here.
So simply because the state of Texas wants to abide by the Hyde Amendment.
Yes.
Concerning federal dollars. Mm. They're being mocked by this federal judge who was appointed by President George H.W. Bush.
Really?
Well, this is the big frustration for conservatives and constitutionalists, and that is that judges now seem to almost becoming more political mm-hmm. since President Trump took office. And so they're basically, you know, completely dismissing any restrictions on their rulings. First of all, they're not restricting them to facts, and they are playing politics. They are basically making decisions based on whatever side they want to choose. And this is becoming increasingly frustrating as we've seen, you know, the Trump temporary travel ban, mm-hmm. you know, completely dismissed by a federal judge and then the Ninth Circuit. This is becoming very frustrating for conservatives.
And the federal judge in the case, I'm not sure if it was the initial federal judge or it was the one of the three panel of the Ninth Circuit, but referencing in that decision back to something that was at
Rudy Giuliani
said during the election campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the basis?
Right.
Yeah, we've got a real problem with the federal judges in this country in particular. Mm-hmm. And what to do about it exactly, I'm not sure, but we need to have something needs to be done. as we go. Main thing that needs to be done is these guys need to be replaced. As they can be replaced mm-hmm. by constitutional conservatives that President Trump can appoint. And I think he understands this. And certainly Attorney General Jeff Sessions understands the necessity of this.
And just to highlight that, just I won't be long on this, how important this is. You have seating judges like Judge Richard Posner, Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals judge, who has come out in print and in person saying that it's irrelevant for judges to read the Constitution. He said that. It's a waste
out loud.
Of time. He said it out loud and he wrote it.
Yeah, but
it's
but
a
you
waste
know what?
Of time.
But that is precisely now that's an accurate statement because within the last 100 years, law schools stopped teaching the Constitution. So in a sense, he's just simply describing the way things are. Our legal decisions are disconnected from the Constitution. As you said last week, they are based on case law, what other judges decided. So he's simply stating the facts. They're shocking because most Americans don't know that happened.
And they take an oath to protect and defend
right.
the Constitution.
Yeah.
So
I inherited a mess, folks. I inherited a mess. What can I tell you? I inherited a mess. It's a mess, folks. Who am I impersonating there?
Donald Trump.
That's pretty good from a boy from Mississippi to impersonate a New York tycoon, business tycoon. Hey, we will be back momentarily. You don't want to miss this interview with Autumn Lindsay coming up after the break. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day. or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
The first cries of a newborn baby signal the miracle of life. There are some who believe that life actually begins at that point, that whatever is in the womb is just tissue and could possibly even be an accident. But the Bible shows something quite different. In Psalm 139, it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Life begins in the womb at the point of conception, and the Bible makes it clear that it's not just tissue, and there are no accidents with God. Life is a precious gift that's meant to be treasured, not destroyed. In fact, life is so valued by God that He sent His Son Jesus to be the sacrifice for sin so we could have life with Him for eternity. If life is that important to God, shouldn't we do all we can to protect it? For your help in defending the sanctity of human life, thank you. From AFR.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Liberty University is in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Students at Dinwiddie High School in Virginia were ordered to remove American flags flying from their truck beds. The students did as they were told, but word soon spread about the school's unpatriotic behavior. Local residents complained, and television station WIRC investigated. The school said it was a safety issue, but later had a change of heart and told the kids to fly their flags. So first, I want to salute the reporters at WRIC. Thanks to their fair and balanced journalism, a wrong was righted. It's nice to see some real news instead of fake news. But most of the credit goes to the good citizens of Dinwiddie County, Virginia. The gun-toting, Bible-clinging, flag-waving, deplorable Americans took a stand. And as I wrote in my new book, The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again, when patriots take a stand, we can make a difference. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, we talked about the Trump administration, namely the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions, which was the best hire of all the appointees of President Trump, in my humble opinion. The President Obama and Attorney General Sessions, they are going to announce, that they are going to rescind this crazy transgendered policy that the Obama administration put into effect last May, threatening all schools across America. You got to let men in and boys in girls' restrooms and showers and changing facilities in your school or else lose federal funding potentially. Well, Jeff Sessions changed that. He is changing that. So if you want to weigh in on this issue, go to our website, afa.net. And you'll look on the right side of that page, and you can take action. You can send an email to the Trump administration, to Jeff Sessions, and to the Secretary of Education. And it's very easy to do. You need to go there and sign up for those action alerts, afa.net, and sign up there. It's real easy to do. And it takes you about 2 minutes to take action or less. We make it. It's really it's Take Action for Dummies. Is what it is.
We're not calling our supporters dummies, but like the book,
right?
Algebra for Dummies. It's right. So simple.
It's anyone so can simple. Do it. A dummy can do it. So go. There's no reason for you not to go and do that. AFA.net. Sign up. Takes you 2 minutes, and you can send know that you took action today for righteousness' sake to help our country get back on track. We can do things. We can't control everything, but there are some times we can do things to affect positive change in our government, and this is one of them where we can take a direct action. Ed Battagliano is with me with Abe Hamilton and Fred Jackson, and Walker Wildman's keeping our Facebook page going. Go to our Facebook Today's Issues page. We live video stream there, as well as you can comment on the show and such. Well, we want to welcome Autumn Lindsay to our program. Autumn is from the state of Washington, and she joins us now. Autumn, good morning to you.
Morning. How are you guys?
Doing great. Now, I know your daddy and mama, and you guys live, what, near Bellingham?
Yeah.
Near Bellingham, Washington. Now, Autumn, you have created a video that has gone viral, tell us about, for those who don't know anything about this, tell us about how this video, you're 16 years old, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us how, I just want people to know that because they're going to think you're 25 because you're an impressive young lady. You're 16 years old. Tell our listeners who don't know anything about why we're talking to you today, how this whole story came to be.
Yeah, no problem. So Teen Vogue, a couple days ago, posted an article called What to Get a Friend Post-Abortion. And I remember reading it and just thinking, there is no way that this can be real, because it was so appalling, so offensive, so flippant. And basically, they were trying to paint the picture that abortion is a celebration, and, you know, you should support your friend, and you should, you know, which, to some extent, you know, if somebody had gone through abortion, you should be there for them, but not for the reasons that Teen Vogue was laying out, essentially. So I read the article, and I was like, something has to happen.
Right.
With this. So I ended up filming a video, contacting Students for Life, asking if they would be willing to post it, if it was something they were interested in, and they jumped on it. And so then they posted it as soon as they could get it out. And
how many, we're about to play a clip from your video that you created. It was released on Monday?
Yeah.
And how many people have watched it?
I think we're around 630,000 at this point.
Well, tell your dad he hasn't sent me an update in about 2 hours on how many people are watched this, because my phone keeps going off in the middle of the night. Your proud daddy telling me how many people have watched your video, and I would be proud too if you were my daughter. What a wonderful thing you've done here. So this is to set this up. So what we're about to hear, folks, we can't play the whole thing. How long is the whole thing, Amber?
It's about Autumn? 9.5 minutes.
Because we can't obviously play the whole thing. And we want you to go and watch it, folks. So just to recap, what Autumn did, she went in, she recorded a video, a homemade video, basically, in response to this Teen Vogue article, which celebrated abortion and treated it in a very lighthearted manner. And this, Autumn was convicted. Somebody needs to speak out against this, especially a teen. And she created this video in response. So we're going to hear a couple minutes of it, and then we'll come back and talk to Autumn. Go ahead and play it.
Hello, my name is Autumn, and I'm 16 and would like to talk to you about an article recently posted by Teen Vogue called What to Get a Friend Post-Abortion. And since I'm a teen, this was directed towards me, and I would like to respond. The point of the article was to make the situation seem as lighthearted and nonchalant as possible in order to convince girls my age that abortion is no big deal. Well, we need to clarify one thing first. Abortion is a big deal, a very big deal. And to say it is not is simply feeding us a lie. Right off the bat, Teen Vogue said, quote, "Look, making this decision is never simple, and having to make it as a teenager is more than a little terrifying, but it shouldn't have to be so scary," unquote. Okay, which is it? Is it more than a little terrifying, or is it not so scary? You can't have it both ways. It's one or the other.
Did you write that, Autumn?
Yeah. It was Yeah, it was crazy.
So you wrote this, and yeah. I guess as you're recording, you're reading it. Somebody's got it on a teleprompter.
Yeah. So what we did is once we found out that I was going to record it, I had that evening to write a speech. Yeah, it took me maybe
this is amazing
2 hours. It was just like God was like, "Here are the words that you need to speak. Mm-hmm. This is what people need to hear."
Mm-hmm.
Because I write speeches all the time for NCSCA, which is a National Christian Speech and Debate.
I want to see your ID. I really.
You're officially being carded on this program.
You can't be 16 years old. Are you really? Wow. This is.
You know what? One of the things that encourages me so much about this is the fact that Autumn is 16 years old.
Right.
But she is not afraid to step out. Now, she didn't know that she was going to get over 630,000 views. For all she knew, she could have faced so much blowback and so much hostility, and probably is getting that as well. But, Autumn, let me just ask you this. Are there others your age that you know of who are this willing to speak the truth?
I think that's the hardest part is a lot of people my age just kind of think, well, I'm really young. I can't do anything. And I think that's kind of what I was thinking too until this video got released. Because so often I'll be like, well, I'm young. What can I say? There's millions of people in this world. You know, I can't make a difference. However, what this showed me is that what it takes is just a few people who are willing to speak their mind, speak the truth, share the gospel, share God's grace, His love, His mercy, and have the courage to do that, which I think is really hard for everyone to be able to do that. And I didn't even know that this video would go so far, spread to so many people. So I think that's the crazy part is I had no expectations for any of this. But to see how well it did, I'm so thankful
Amen.
For this opportunity.
We're talking to Autumn Lindsay. She's a 16-year-old young lady from Bellingham, Washington area. She learned of an article that appeared in Teen Vogue magazine. You know, Vogue, a fashion magazine, and Teen Vogue, obviously for teenagers. And it was celebrating abortion, basically saying it's a great thing and how to have fun with it. Just appalling, this treatment of human life and how it was portrayed. Well, Autumn decided to do something in her own way. She created a video, about a 9-minute video that she wrote in response to this as a teenage young lady. And she sent it to Students for Life, and it just exploded on the internet. And it's had over 650,000 views. Walker has put it up on our Facebook page. So if you go to Today's Issues Facebook, we've got the video posted there. Now, she will get credit for the views, won't she, Walker? Okay. So we don't want to take away from that because I'd love to see this thing go to 1 million.
Right.
And it probably will in a few days. Well, this is just wonderful, Autumn. We congratulate you for standing for life and for the Word of God. And we're just proud of you. We want you to keep on keeping on. I tell you what, you have an invitation to come back on when it goes over 1 million. Unless it's,
thank you.
Unless it, well, it may go over 1 million by tomorrow.
It probably will.
If it will, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I tell you what, no, we're going to keep that invitation. When it goes over 1 million, you come back on,
okay?
Because we want to celebrate that with you. Thank you, Autumn.
Okay.
We appreciate
Perfect.
It
Thank
very much.
So
Take
much.
Care. Bye-bye.
Great kid.
Bye.
Walker?
That's encouraging.
Now, you're familiar with Students for Life,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I've been to their conference.
They do a wonderful job.
They do great work.
On high school and college campuses, promoting life.
Yeah, the culture of life is winning in this country on college campuses and on high school, you know, K through 12th grade
Why
campuses.
Do you think that is?
Well.
So you're talking about younger people are having a more pro-life view than some of their.
Well, I think it's because young people want a cause. They want something to do.
Yeah.
A purpose. And who wants to. What young person wants to promote death, abortion? It's just dreary. It's sad.
But don't you think the ultrasound?
Yes.
Oh, the technology, no doubt, has brought to light, you know, what people used to debate on whether it was a life.
Mm-hmm.
it's scientifically and factually alive, and you can see it. And
that's why Planned Parenthood fights so hard to keep ultrasound equipment and machines out of abortion facilities, because when people see that the child is a baby,
right,
it's a baby, they become less abortion-minded.
You know, I read a quote from, I want to say the president of NARAL, maybe it was just an official, maybe a state official. NARAL used to be the, I think, North America,
National
Abortion Rights Action League. Uh-huh. But they don't go by that. They could just go by NARAL. But anyway, this official was saying that she was very concerned because she sees so much passion amongst young women mm-hmm. who are pro-life mm-hmm. for their cause, but does not see much passion on the part of young women for abortion. Mm-hmm. And it suddenly occurred to me, it's Walker was talking about young people want a cause. Saving a human life is a cause.
Yeah.
Taking a human life, not so much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say, yeah, I'm really passionate about killing unborn babies.
Right.
Because that, I think, has pretty much become it's not anymore choice mm-hmm. versus, you know, pro-life. Everybody just has come to the understanding we're killing a baby
babies.
Here, and now we need to decide whether we want to be in favor of that, and it's hard to be charged up about killing unborn
and
children.
Let us not forget the third debate during the election campaign,
right,
where then-candidate Donald Trump made it very clear on where he stands on abortion. A lot of people said that was the pivotal point.
Right.
They may have been on the fence about candidate Donald Trump, but that was the point. They said, yes,
right,
I am going with him, because he was so diametrically opposed to what Hillary Clinton also said in that debate.
Right.
Yeah.
They had enough.
Yeah, and I also think we can't forget that a lot of the quote-unquote pro-choice, which is really nothing more but pro-death, the genesis of that movement was all shrouded in a lot of ignorance. They would advocate, oh, it's just a blob of tissue.
Right.
Oh, it's not live until this particular point, where now when you actually see, you know, the
yes.
four chambers of a heart in a matter of weeks,
yeah. right.
it's hard for you to deny that this is a life.
They
this
used to just say it was nothing more than like having your appendix taken out.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
and that argument carried for a long time, I think, to your point, Tim, until we started seeing these incredible, not just the still photos of a baby in utero, but the video mm. of them moving and sucking their thumb and yawning. Mm. I mean, that makes it clear, this is not my appendix. Mm-hmm. This is an unborn child.
There's also the inconsistency of the law, mm. because we have courts now, we have jurisdictions where if a pregnant woman is killed by murder, you have two murder charges.
Yes.
One for the woman, one for the baby. So people are scratching that. Wait a minute. Now, you said it's not human.
Right.
But you're going to charge this guy over here with two counts of murder.
Right.
Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
You know, that's the obvious question coming up. Why are you doing that?
And I'll say this, too. The pro-life movement has been very smart. Tim, you're one of your more familiar comments, at least in some of our meetings, is sometimes you go for, you know, a quarter of the loaf. You may not be able to get the whole loaf, but you go for a quarter of the loaf or a half a loaf. The pro-life movement has been very smart with laws like that, where an unborn child counts as a manslaughter charge. Mm-hmm. The 24-hour, laws, you can't get an abortion with 24 hours, the waiting period. The laws requiring, a woman wanting an abortion to see the ultrasounds. All those kinds of laws have really helped to shape the pro-life, the percentage of people in this country who are pro-life, and
yeah.
expand that a little bit.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're listening to American Family Radio. Hey, you can get us live on the internet, afr.net, anywhere in the world. You can also use the app. For American Family Radio, the app you can download in less than a minute and listen on your iPad or iPhone or other kind of smartphone anywhere in the world to American Family Radio. We thank you, as always, for listening. Well, Stephen McDowell is with us now, founder of the Providence Foundation. Stephen wrote a column, a lengthy column, but we posted it. It's excellent on our a website, and you can find it at our Today's Issues Facebook page. Walker put it up there a little while ago. It's called Why do the leftists rage? We've all seen the riots in the streets and the protest and the women's march and bomb the White House, says Madonna, and, you know, he's not my president. The protesters are marching, some of them. Why? That's just some examples. Why do the leftists rage? And Stephen wrote a piece on that, and we have him on there. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. Where are you in Charlottesville today?
Well, actually, I'm in Memphis, not far from you.
Do I still owe you money? You coming here?
I hope so.
Okay, well, all right. Or if you owe me, I'll come to where you are here. Anyway, Stephen joining us, he's the founder of the Providence Foundation. Tell us about how you had the idea of writing this particular piece.
Well, you know, as we're all aware, there's a big divide in America today. You know, it's depicted politically when you look at the red state or red county versus the blue county maps. And you know, we as conservative Christians or Christians, we hear this violence against the things that we hold dear, life and biblical morality and others. And I asked myself, well, what's going on? You know, what's the nature of this? Why is there such divide? Why is there such animosity from especially the left toward us? And that's really what I wanted to try to answer in this article, to give some good positive news. There are a lot of people that are standing up for our liberty, but then to try to answer the question of why do the leftists rage? And the short answer, you can explore this out, you know, in a way, but the short answer is the leftists rage because their kingdom is in danger. You know, their tenets are threatened, their God is losing power, and their, quote, church is being taken over by what they would consider to be infidels. That's the short answer of why they rage.
Now, you've used Christian terminology, or at least religious terminology, to describe the secular left. Mm-hmm. And how they view the world. Many of them don't believe in God, certainly not the God of the Bible. So what's their motivation here? Why do they get up every day wanting to destroy or wanting to war with Judeo-Christianity, if I'm saying that right, or at least the Christian worldview? Why do they care so much?
Well, it has to do with how we look at law and government. You know, to the Christian, government is a divine institution that God gave us in order to protect the righteous, punish the evildoer, you know, to enable us to carry on our mission to proclaim the truth of the gospel. That's an important but limited function. But to the humanist or the leftist, the secularist, they see government differently. To them, they don't believe in a God that saves. They don't believe in a force outside of us that can bring, you know, peace and healing and health and salvation to man. So they say, you know, if we want to be saved, we're going to have to do it ourselves. We're the source of bringing hope to the world, utopia to the world, provision to the world, advancement in the world. Man has to do that. And so for man to do that, he has to have control of the places of power, which is civil government primarily, and also education, the media. And so they see government kind of like the church. You know, it's their religion. This is where we carry on and advance our vision for man. The kingdom of man will be transmitted through the instrument of government and law. So that's why they don't consciously, most of them know this, but subconsciously, this is what they're doing. So once their positions of power, their God, their source of salvation, if it's taken from them, they're going to rant and rave and go wild, you know, over that to get back control of that. And I think that, in a nutshell, is why they are reacting so violently. And we as conservatives, when we aren't in power, of course, we're upset and we work to transmit truth, but we don't get bent out of shape because we have a Savior. We have God himself who will do all these things, and lost man does not.
We're talking to Stephen McDowell, president of the Providence Foundation. Folks, you need to go and read this article that Stephen wrote, which he expands on the ideas he's just expressed the last few minutes. It's excellent. Walker's put it up on our Today's Issues Facebook page. It's one of the first things you see. It's called Why Do the Leftists Rage? Why Do the Leftists Rage? And it's written by Stephen McDowell. Abe, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question, Stephen, and you've already alluded to it. When the metrics of power and influence that they've held so dearly, you said that they're raging because they see them as being taken over by infidels. What do you mean when you say that they're being taken over by the infidels?
Well, infidels to them is people who hold to different tenets of faith. You know, the leftists have in general, while they're diverse, they adhere to a certain basic tenets of life, principles of life. That is, they're for abortion. They're for letting people, live whatever immoral lifestyle they want, whether it be transgender lifestyle or homosexuality or whatever. So these are tenets that are foundational to their, quote, religion, and that when, Christian-thinking people get in positions of that stand against that, they would say, look, the infidels are ruling. We've got to get them out of there so we can get back and preserve our what they consider their rights and liberties. That's what I mean by that.
Stephen, we just got a couple of minutes left. Let me just ask you this. Do you think that even when we're talking about atheists, do you think all people are basically religious in nature, that even if they don't believe in, say, the God of the Bible or a deity, there is something within them that drives them to transcendent ideals and those kind of things? Do you think all people are basically religious?
Yeah, I definitely do. Everybody, and this has been in a broader sense, every society is based upon some religion. That is, it's based upon some set of ideas, presuppositions about life that they consider to be ultimate and supreme. This is an inescapable fact. Every people are religious. Every nation is religious. So, yes, they are, because some people think that what is ultimate to the individual? Now, to secular man himself is ultimate. He is the source of right and wrong, good and bad, morality and immorality. He's the source of law. To the Christian, God is the source of law, and he reveals that in the Bible. He reveals what's right and wrong. And so we look to a whole complete different source. But everybody does look to an ultimate reality that's rooted in their faith, their religion about life.
Hey, Stephen, quickly, the Providence Foundation, which you've been in leading for many, many years now. What's the website and what's there?
ProvidenceFoundation.com. ProvidenceFoundation.com is our website. We have all kinds of articles, including this one, all kinds of materials that deal with Christianity and culture, God's hand in our history. How do we take the truth of the Bible and apply it in not just personal life, but in public life? So there's all kinds of free things there, but our books and materials and videos and other stuff that you can look at.
Your most popular book is America's Providential History, right?
That's correct, and that's something everybody ought to read and understand you want to understand America.
How many of those books have you printed?
A couple hundred thousand.
America's Providential History. I know it's been very popular for a long time. It's an excellent book. Hey, thanks, Stephen. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, bye-bye. Talking to Stephen McDowell there. Stephen is the one that goes on our tours with us as well to Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown, Washington, D.C., and Mount Vernon. We'll take a break for our news, 5 minutes of news from our American Family Radio news team, and then we'll be back with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.